the process. You were talking about enjoying what you do. And then I was left with that question. If you're asking yourself, who am I in light of this? And you're making decisions such that you are comfortable with the person that you are in light of this, you can't really go too wrong. And when you do that, it kind of tells you exactly where you're supposed to be. When your answers are correct, where else would you rather be? But I made a commitment to myself. I was talking in terms of 10, 20 years, spending a whole career here. I'm not quitting on my 2% progress. I'll quit when it's done. But then, even of late, I've been thinking, okay, we can ride out with this mantra, follow your path, follow your passion, follow your mission, stay as true to yourself as possible. Ask ourselves the question, who am I in light of this? Could you be called a fool? Could you be thinking too much about... Could you be called impatient? Could you be thinking too much about yourself and not enough about others? Could your mum do with a bit more of your time as you spend 70 hours a week making music, for example? Could your mum do with a bit of help paying the bills? And I don't think this framework is... There's a number of ways to look at it. I don't think this framework is... There's only one thing that you could ever be doing. I don't think that's true. There's a million and one things that you can be doing at any given moment. But say everything does fall in its face and music isn't the one for Marley. The PD project and this business isn't the one for Eunice. I think it could be easy for myself, given how much I've invested in it, to fall into absolute crisis and to again think nothing's worth it. Going back to early on in the conversation, I'm not going to apply myself to that. Reductionist. Who are you in light of that? At the end of the day, this is an investment in ourselves, not in the PD project. It's one in the same. That's one of the things that have kind of become one in the same, but not in the PD project and its success and its metrics, as you talked about. Not in this business of mine that I want to get off the ground that doesn't exist. Not in Miles the musician, but in Marley Gunter. And again, we said almost a year ago, we do not know who we are becoming. We don't know if the path to get there looks contrary to everything you expected to be doing. What I'm telling myself, we could be 2 weeks' time. Right now I'm saying, right, do the PhD because it will get you to the business. Allow you to put most of your time into what you want. 2 weeks' time, I could be accepting a grad job. I've thought about that. Why? Because there's many ways to get places. You've been talking about a year of aggressive upskilling. There's many ways to grow me. This very analysis, which could be very one-track minded, opened up my horizons, broadened my horizons, and saying, okay, if you ask yourself, who are you in light of pursuing this PhD for this business? Absolutely, someone that stays true to themselves, someone that wants to see things through. Who are you in light of getting a grad job? Almost what I allow my mentality to make me. Can I not upskill? Can I not utilize, okay, I'll be trained in professionalism, in dependability, again in commitment, again in seeing things out, again in eking more out of myself. Because after a while, I'm not here as a slave to this business that I want to make. This business isn't Eunice Skeet. I am. So let me make sure I'm not only feeding just the business, but fundamentally I'm feeding myself.
Grow, still can't submit.
the vision once, hey, back when I had goals, though, back when I had dreams. So welcome, listeners, to the 24th episode of the Personal Development Podcast. I'm joined with Marley Gunter and just Marley Gunter. It's not that that's a bad thing. It's just we're expecting a second guest in the form of Lucas Alemu, but he seems to have stood us up at the altar. So Marley Gunter, how are you this evening?
You know, just a winter crash. Feeling a bit tired of late. Well, ready for the episode.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. And this one, I don't know what it is about December, but this one has come again a year later at a contemplative slash inspiring time for myself. And the context behind this particular episode, I'm still unsure of the name. I don't know if it's the process. We'll figure it out. But the context behind this particular episode was the man himself, Marley Gunter. And was it as little as yesterday? Or was it the day before? Marley sent me some messages and a voice note. Out of nowhere, and I was thinking this is a bit random. But I read them. And he was talking about loving the process. Something that's not novel. I think we've all heard it a million times. And I see this little 3-minute voice note and I listen to him. And again, he's speaking about doubling down and just focusing in on, I don't know, I hope I'm paraphrasing you correctly, enjoying being nourished by committing to exactly what it is that we're doing. Is that correct?
Mm. Yeah, just process, just the journey, if you will.
The journey. And that came at a good time because I've been doing some reflecting on the year that was. And I've been looking at my journey. And one of the things that from that I took that is a question that I think is hugely motivating is when I'm making these decisions in my life, when I'm going through maybe certain sticky patches and maybe my head's being swayed and I'm losing my way, asking myself the question, who am I in light of this? And I think if my answer to that is positive, I can't be doing too much wrong. But we'll unpack all of that. We'll get into all of that. For now, I want to ask you, Marley, why the sporadic message about the process?
Because right now, I'm trying to kind of knuckle down with my music career in the process of just, obviously knowing it's a marathon, but trying to get foundations right in order for me to really go for what I want in life. Like, I'm at this stage in my life now, it's just like, look, no messing about. Like, what do you really want, and go for it, and have a goal and go for it. And kind of like what's been holding me back is, what if I fail? Like, what if I don't get this goal? Okay. What if I don't hit that? What happens?
Yeah. Can we have a bit more context? Where are you, Marley?
Valencia, Spain.
Valencia, Spain. When did you move out there?
26th of October 2020.
To the date. And to provide a bit of context for that, we've reached a stage where it's almost like, okay, no messing around. We want to knuckle down on some things. We want to achieve some things. We want to add, for all the right reasons, a bit more to the list of our accomplishments and accolades. Where have we been in the last year? Give us that whistle-stop tour as context.
Okay, got into Spain on a digital marketing internship funded by Erasmus. If anybody's listening here, go check that out. It's the Turing scheme now. It's like 13-week placement. yeah, in a couple European countries. I chose, well, I didn't choose Spain. I wanted Lisbon, but because of COVID, they sliced down the options, so I was left with Valencia. Packed my bags. found myself in Valencia. Didn't really like the internship. Truthfully, thought it was a waste of time, and I thought I could be doing a bit more with myself. But didn't really know what to do with my life. But I knew it wasn't going back to London. I'd go back screaming. so it was kind of like, right, what am I going to do to stay here? How am I going to stay here? Make some money. Found an English teaching position. Teaching English for 8 months. And then quit my job. I guess, when was it now? Maybe 4 to 6 weeks ago. Just, I wanted to quit for time because I knew this just wasn't where my heart lied. But I finally just listened to my gut. It's like, nah, now's the time. Just get out. Then found myself crisis, panicking, head loss. Just, okay, what am I doing? Right, I need to just go back to London, 9 to 5 it, use my law degree, keep things stepping, make 23, 24 grand and keep things stepping and, you know, integrate back into society, as you will. Things fell through. Things, you know, that was planning to go into recruitment in London. I had quite a few interviews with some recruitment firms based in England. I was heading into recruitment. Everybody liked me. Thought I was, this was going to be my new avenue, recruitment. And then things didn't pan out in that way, which kind of led me to Eunice, and where I said, I don't know what to do, man. I don't know what to do. And you said, just fail. Just fail. Which is, where was that headspace coming from? That was just, it's genius.
For my part, I don't remember. Is this the if I'm allowed to fail conversation?
Yeah.
Okay, I've written that down. Well, I am writing that down. If I'm allowed to fail, to get back to that. But I want to interject. And I want to ask, am I allowed to be honest?
Yeah.
What I've seen in Marley, I've known Marley for the past 4 or 5 years, almost. Marley can correct me if I'm wrong. What I've seen in Marley is someone who tries a lot of things, but almost seems to have a knack for allowing a reductionist outlook to rob him of all of the joy and motivation to do what he does, and robs him of all of the enrichment that could come from fully investing in what he does, which leads him to walk away from it. How outrageously wrong am I at that?
What does reductionist mean, by the way?
Glass half empty. Yeah, minimizes things like, it's not that great, it's not that this, it's not that. Just constantly just pegging it down.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a problem.
Which has left Marley, I don't know, to me, it's always seemed outrageously ambitious, outrageously competent, outrageously ready to go for the first chapter or for the first couple of weeks. and then it's like after too many nights, you wake up just like, this is stupid. This is worthless. I don't want to do this. This is a waste of time. And it's something that I've felt here and there. However, Part of it is why I'm at this conversation. I've really been trying to focus on get the squeeze the most by force out of absolutely everything that you do because it can enrich you. And a lot of that is mindset. A lot of that, when I look, I am very grateful for my degree. It took until after my degree, I consumed some media about complaining. I did spend most of my degree complaining. I spent most of my degree telling Marley, oh, like, I do it because I do what I do well, or at least I try to, but it's a waste of time. It's stupid. It's this, it's that, it's... But I'll do it because I do take pride in what I did. And I learned a lesson graduating. I did well. I almost think I did better than I deserved to. And the lesson that I almost learned was, whatever you're doing, do it well, do it properly, do it to the fullest. Because it definitely is enriching you. It will invest in you insofar as you will invest in it.
Mm.
And maybe with that as context, that's why what I took from Marley's voice note and Marley's messages was the question that I want to be asking myself from here on in, which is, who am I in light of this? With whatever it is that I'm doing, with whatever stance or viewpoint that I'm trying on for size at the minute, who is this turning me into? And am I proud of that person? Which is, I think, is a key tenet of personal development and what we're doing here at the PD Project. And one of the things that I was almost noticing, to segue back to this, if I'm allowed to fail, is, again, this is me speculating, but I'd see Marley kind of reduce things to trivial or useless. It makes no difference if it succeeds. It makes no difference if it failed. That he almost orchestrated his own failure. He made it inevitable that he would fail because he never turned up. And then it seemed like he'd avoid doing that because he didn't want to fail. Such that there was a barrier to getting started and getting into things in the first place.
Mm.
We didn't want another hit to the... I was going to say ego, but that's a very loaded term, but... We didn't want to have to look in the mirror and just say, okay, that was another ball dropped. And I think you came to me one time on the phone and I just found myself saying, what if we operate as if we know no failure? What if we operate as if failure does not exist? What would we be doing if we truly allowed ourselves to fail? That's me trying to eloquently pass back to you where we left off.
Yeah. So that was your response. Just fail. Write in this journal. Yeah, journal. Spend every day journaling and starting with, if I'm allowed to fail. Started that, and that was really providing immense juice. Because I was like, just in writing that, it's just like, okay, this makes a whole lot of sense. There's a load of reasons why I'm not doing what I want to be doing, and fear is behind every single one of them. It's fear. It's not, oh, I don't want to make music. Oh, I don't really want to, you know, push on with what I'm doing. Oh, I don't want to be more creative. It's, no, there's a whole lot of fear that's stopping me from actually getting what I want, which I guess this is what it boils down to, the art of getting what you want. Like, I guess this is what it boils down to. And it's like, okay, right, you can see the light a little bit, you can see what's maybe it's asking of you, but are you willing to put the work in, mate? And that's a whole nother ball game where it's like, ooh, I'm so far off the mark. And you kind of get lost in... You don't know where to be. So you adopt this reductionist policy because, you know, you step out of your bubble and then people are telling you, oh, no, 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 you've got it. You've got it. Like, yeah, you've got this. You've got it. Like, you need to keep going. Nah, this is sick. Da, 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 da. And then you're looking at yourself and it's like, mate, I haven't even started. And I don't know how to start. And I'm scared to start because there's this bloody mountain in front of me that I don't know how to climb. It's intimidating. I feel like it's gonna cave in on me, like. But you, on the other hand, I don't know, seem to have more of a cool-headed approach to, you know, delving into the unknown.
Yeah, part of it is the mental gymnastics. Just trying to be strict on what I allow myself to focus on. Again, trying to be strict on why I'm doing what I'm doing, what narratives I listen to. And one of the things, I think, when we get caught up in stuff like, oh, I don't want to fail, or oh, I must succeed, part of what we are focusing too much on is the outcome. I'm a high achieving guy. I'm someone that does good stuff with my time. Let me not waste my efforts on this menial task that isn't really going to pay off that much. Let me not chance myself at something where there's a 50-50 chance of me succeeding or me failing. Let me not invest in things which isn't going to pay off the person that I am today, but may only pay off the person that I am in a decade. So we run from it, don't we? When we listen to those kind of narratives, it never makes sense to turn up and do our fullest. And it was a seminal conversation. Was it episode 22? Motivation and Meaning with Rajan Patel. Yeah. Where one of my take homes was, the way I do one thing is the way I do everything. And I was kind of thinking, okay, even if this is something as trivial, the example that I gave of cleaning my mum's shower down every day, if that was going to pay off for 50 grand a year, I'd be there. I'd be there with pride. If that was going to get me an OBE or something, I'd be there with pride, because I'm looking at the outcome. But when I can start to think, the way I do one thing is the way I do anything, and I've just been reading The Republic by Plato, and he's big on everything you do is about nurturing your spirit. Everything you do feeds something within you. It can either be good or it can either be bad. When I can start to look through that lens and ask myself, who am I in light of this? When I'm scrubbing my mum's bathroom down with extra passion and making sure I'm getting at all the spots, at least I can leave, maybe with no certificates, maybe with quote-unquote wasted time, but at least I can leave knowing I am the sort of person that invests wholly in me and accepts all of the juice, as you called it, all of the richness that anything, no matter how trivial, has to give me. Don't get it twisted. That's not the place that I'm at now, but that's the place that I'm working towards. That's part of what was in the sentiments when I was looking back at uni, thinking, it's not I didn't put enough effort into it, but I didn't appreciate it for all of the merits that it had to offer. And who am I in light of that? A reductionist that, by virtue of that quality, is probably going to shut a lot of doors that could have enriched me. Is probably going to be undernourished in an environment rife with nourishment. Can you relate? What was your university experience?
Only turning up to uni, really and truly, when I had a gig. So my uni career was DJ, run events, and then turn up to do the degree. Really and truly, when I could be asked. You look back at it and you're like, look, got the degree, got what I wanted out of, you know, starting my music career. It's like, yeah, that's what I went in with it, with, you know, that's W. But I was left, when I graduated, like, oh, this is a piece of paper. Like, really and truly, like, I didn't, you're trying to tell me this is what, I guess, how many years of education is it from, like, age 4 to 21? 17 years, this is what it all boiled down to. You know, parents have had me, they made their moves, they made the, you know, they moved to certain areas, they had certain jobs to afford maybe tuition or getting me into school, you know, this is what it was all about. And you're just left with just muted fanfare, like, is that really and truly, like, what's this all about? And I'm thinking, what if I went back in with like a process outlook? Just, this isn't about getting the piece of paper. This isn't about banging out your gigs and banging out events. What if this is, I guess, gratitude for the journey, gratitude for the process. This is enriching me. This is...
Well, it's an opportunity to, yeah.
This is going to sound a bit mad, but... I think it's the greatest riches that human beings can really and truly get out of in this world. It's true lasting riches. Richness, yeah.
In the form of what?
Letting your environment nourish and feed you to the best of your ability. So it's just... It drives you, like, it's your internal riches are lasting. It stays with you forever. You can look back, age 40, age 50, you're looking at the foundations you made when you were 20 because you started to grind out the process. Just smile on your face. Now, this is quite hard. I'm not going to lie. This is a hot good thing. We've got our whole lives to be doing it. But I'm thinking the 40-year-old... Guapo Miles wants to be looking back at the 22, 23-year-old version of myself, grateful and thankful that at least he started failing now. He tried to, you know, get into the process and just squeezing out reps, like, just... The outcome isn't important. It's who you become during the process, which is all of the gravy. It's all of the juice.
Okay, I like that. The outcome isn't important. It's who you become during the process. And I do want to elaborate this a tiny bit more. We have some experience, some common experience, I think, working with a team at the PD Project, and your teams outside of the PD Project as well. The degree certificate never mattered. The CV never mattered. All of the outcomes, to a certain extent, there can be indicators, but all of the, I had done this, I had done that, I achieved this, I achieved that, mattered zilch. It was all about the person that they were. It was all about who they were in light of that. And you can tell, again, how I do one thing is how I do anything. You can tell the people that are really there to be enriched, as you say. To be nourished. To turn up to their fullest. Do you have anything to say about that, maybe, over the past year of the PD Project?
Oh, yeah, PD Project. You don't really get... I have to say thank you. You don't get many opportunities to be fresh out of uni. Wide-eyed. Just unpatterned. Unpatterned. But you're suddenly managing a workforce of 30 man, trying to pattern culture manifestos, trying to pattern meetings, trying to just keep people on top of their jobs. All while knowing that people see this as something more than just... I mean, no one was paid. You know, no one was paid. And it was like, didn't really matter who you were before. Didn't really matter, okay, what? You ran events. You can barely turn up on time to your meetings with your teammate. You know, like... it was just like... The maddest just... Right, you need to bloody pattern.
Yeah.
It was... It's a lesson. Because I remember I was just... At the time, it was like... I felt it was torture.
Yeah? What?
Like, the process just... There was who I needed to be, and there was who I was, and there was just this fundamental disjunct.
Mm.
And I was so focused on outcomes. You know, you wanted the documentaries, banging workshops, you know, oversubscribed. You wanted the banging Twitter followers. Mm. You know, you wanted that real world kind of, yeah, we're the PD Project. We're changing the world. Look at us. Not knowing you're shambles.
That's one way of putting it. I don't disagree. That's certainly one way of putting it. And I remember, again, this isn't slighting anyone. This isn't disparaging. Maybe to emphasize that, I will make this about us. And it still currently is about us. If you're involved in the PD Project, I think you do want the PD Project to do well. What's not a given is whether or not you want to be the person who will take it to the places that it needs to go to. Because we're only there for the success. We're not there to look ourselves in the mirror and say, right now, this is what I contribute. Right now, this is what I'm not doing. And then to say, if I were to don these responsibilities, to accept all of these commitments, would I be a better person? Would I be more of someone that would get the PD Project to where we want to go? And don't get me wrong, I'm looking at myself with these exact evaluations thinking, no. Thinking, no, it does touch on that conversation that we had with Raj, episode 22, motivation and meaning. Do you want it or want it for reasons?
Well,
a lot of times when you're just looking at the outcome, it's, I don't really want it. I just want all of the payoffs. I don't really want to run a series of four workshops that I organized, starting with self-belief. I just want to have run those workshops and have it oversubscribed. And I'm thinking back to, I think you're on episode 2. I hope I'm right with this. Episode 2, the personal development mindset. I was having a chat with you and Griff.
Wow.
And I remember we weren't necessarily seeing eyes on this one thing. I seemed to be coming at it from that everything you do, you should invest your all. You're just wasting your time, your life. Like, you're not getting much out of it if you're not investing your all. And I remember I was almost flabbergasted. You seemed to be arguing down the line of you should be trying to expend the least amount of effort possible in everything you do. Mm. How does that fit into this whole framework?
All right. Obviously, hearing that now, I'm just looking now. Wow, the evolution in mindset. that version just sounds a bit BTEC. You know, no wonder his life was looking the way it did. You know, that's what I was saying. Like,
do you think that has an yeah. impact on the way your life's going?
Yeah.
How so?
Just, it's like, if I'm being totally honest, I could do very well within what most people consider success, probably half-assing it at like 20-30 capacity percent of my capacity. Like, if I'm being totally serious with myself, like 20-30% of my capacity, I could be successful in what most people would consider, like, okay, management position, maybe, you know, by your 30s, making decent income, decent peas, slap down a yard. You know, if I focused on that, I don't think it would take too much kind of brain effort, which was why I was disillusioned. Which is why I was saying what I was saying, like, oh yeah, you just expend the least amount of least amount of effort possible. You know, bearing in mind, yeah, this was second year into a law degree at a top 10 UK uni. this is a flagship degree, and then what, one of your students coming in, yeah, it's all about spending the least amount of effort possible. Which I would like to tweak now into conscious effort, you know, with efficiency.
Mm.
Less is more. When you do act, maximal energy is behind it.
Mm.
Is what I would add to that
mindset. And why so? Because it's, again, dangerous is a bit of a hyperbole, but it's almost dangerous to just ride in on this mantra of this way that we're proposing is superior. I think there actually should be a bit of analysis there to kind of challenge, well, explore the evidence, challenge where we're coming from. Why is it that we should be applying ourselves?
What question? Because it gives you a chance of actually responding to life's struggles in a way which just doesn't just leave you just washed out at sea.
Mm.
Like, I could look back at the past year and think, really and truly, intangible real world numbers, I'm worse off. Mm. I'm making less money than I was making last year. Less people are tuned into my music. Less friends. There's a whole lot less of everything, to be totally truthful. This is jump out the window right now. You know, this is washed out at sea. But now I'm like, no. It's in myself and as a person. Ooh, the reps have kind of strengthened me up. Like, I feel able to respond to life's struggles in a bit more of a positive fashion.
Mm. So how would you have felt if you had failed not putting much effort in?
Indifferent, which is the problem.
Indifferent?
Well, as if you put in the most effort and you flop.
Then it's almost like a sucker punch, is that what you're saying?
Mm. Yeah. Exactly. I've had a couple sucker punches. It's like, you don't want any more.
Mm.
You don't want any more. But I think you need to take the sucker punch. You can't run through life avoiding, you know, resistance.
Mm.
As Mike Tyson says, everybody's got a plan until you get punched in the mouth. Like, it's all fun and games till it's not.
Mm. One of the things I've been thinking is, say you don't want to waste your time on things that will fail. Say you don't want to waste your time on things that you don't see any value in. If you've never trained yourself to apply yourself to anything, when it does come to that thing that you really want, when it does come to that thing that really matters, the way you do one thing, the way you have been doing all of the things you've been doing, is the person that you have to call on to do this really big, really long, really important task. And if I'm used to giving a half-assed effort to everything in my life, when it matters to me, the only person that shows up is mediocre at best.
At best. I'm capable of so much more.
Mm.
I'm not mediocre. But I want to be able to get more of myself out.
Mm.
I want to get more of myself out there to the world so I can be a gift to society. A gift to my friends, a gift to my family, a gift to the world rather than a burden.
Mm. I'm trying to see how this little bit fits in. I remember after those workshops, which I think it's fair to say everyone put about at most half of their effort into it. And in the end, they went all right. It called off the rest of them. I remember you saying you were a bit disillusioned. I remember you saying, Eunice, it seems like you care the most about things, but are bothered the least when they fail. And you seem to come at it from a slightly different point. Why was that?
I wanted it to be, I was focused on outcome. When you were about process, I was about outcome. I wanted it to be full house. And you were like, nah, it's all about turning up. Like, it's about the meetings that we were having, you know, just juicing out thoughts. It was about that.
Mm.
It was about the process. So then it was like, everything else is a bonus.
I'm surprised I say that. I need to remind myself of that a tiny bit more. Because I remember thinking, I'm not really here for rep one. I'm trying to make rep 40 look fantastic. I'm not really here for this very instance of success. My whole life hasn't culminated in this right here, blowing everyone's socks off. I'll spend most of my time in the future. I want to prepare that person as best as possible for whatever endeavors they're doing. So rather than focusing on rep one, I'm there for rep 40, rep 50, rep 100. And this is, I don't know, a stepping stone, if I let it be, to make those prospects look a bit better. Because, as you were saying, I think we forget we have our entire lives to achieve some of the stuff that we want to achieve. It's like you get fresh-faced out of uni, age 21, 22, 23, desperate for everything to pay off, if not now, in the next year. And if it doesn't look like it's going to do that, head loss, am I even going to turn up? That's one of the things. That's one of the things. I wanted to give some context. Just with regards to, I wanted to explore the area around this psychology and philosophy. And then where I really need it is in some of the reminders that I want to give myself moving forwards. One of those is, I have my entire life to achieve all of the things that I want to achieve. I need to stop focusing on let it pay off, let it look fantastic, let me be on the right path, and more start investing in myself. More start asking, maybe I didn't want to be doing this exact thing. I'm thinking about jobs. You could be thinking about relationships. You could be thinking about anything. Maybe I didn't want to be doing this exact thing, but at the end of the day, in a decade's time, it'll be me, it'll be this person, whoever I've grown him into, that will be doing, hopefully, what I want to be doing. Let me make sure that I'm feeding him. Let me make sure that he eats, rather than neglecting and starving him right now.
Yeah.
And I wanted to look at several things. One of them is careers. Once you leave uni, if you go to uni, once you leave education, you've typically got a career to tend to. What's your career search looking like?
Right now, I'm going to say with chest, I'm a musician. Young boss. I was disillusioned before, trying to fit myself into careers that just really and truly, my heart, they're not coming from my heart. And it's like, I don't really need that much money to pursue a career as a musician. You just need to start playing your own game. It's like, you need to define what a career as a musician looks like. It doesn't have to be the next Taylor Swift. It can just look like paying your rent each month and knuckling yourself down to some deliberate practice and career capital and building yourself that over the next decade and hedging your bets and placing your cards in a way that failure is mitigated for. So you can't really fail. You've got no excuse not to be doing what you want. But yeah, I'm a musician. I run my own record label. I think you have to step into your calling, step into your the main, and at the very least commit to I am this. Commit to that at the very least. At the very least, just commit to the I am.
Mm.
If you can wake up, I am this. And step in the day with that. What does a musician do? What does a train driver do? What does a teacher do? I am this. And it's up to you to curate what it looks like. You know, like job descriptions, as you're saying. Like, how can I write the sexiest job description to make me want to turn up to work?
Okay. Is that something that you have experience doing?
No. Learning on the go.
That's what I'm getting at. Is that something that you have experience doing? Because you're going to now be calling on the person who writes those job descriptions that you've given yourself over the past 23 years. And the reason why I ask that is you've recently drifted out of two jobs. Why was that?
It's just, you're lying to yourself, aren't you? You don't want to be here. Like, you could do it, but nah, come on. You're not being truthful to yourself. Like, lack of honesty at every step of the way. Like, do you want to be here? No. It's like, I was never really waking up gassed to do recruitment. Now, not to say, obviously, like, passion and purpose, like, everybody throws these words around as if, you know, you have a claim to them, as if you can just get passion and purpose as soon as you walk into a job. But it's like, if you give me a job sweeping floors, like, well, I can do it, but I'm not going to be happy to do it, am I?
To put words in your mouth, is it a case of you were turning up at work and if you'd been asking yourself, who am I in light of this? Who am I as the person who is currently doing what I'm doing for the reasons that I'm doing in the ways that I'm doing? That wasn't looking particularly satisfactory.
Fraudulent, mate.
Fraudulent.
Yeah, you're backing out all of these talk. Oh, yeah. Find yourself, find your path. But it's like, mate, are you really living your truth? Because this is not your truth. You're just scared to really and truly do what you want to do. You know, like, I know, like, just me saying I'm a musician, I run my own record label, I'm uncomfortable saying it. Rather than if I say, oh, I work in recruitment, it falls off the tongue a lot easier. Oh, I'm an English teacher. Mm. It's like, I can say it. But when it comes to, like, something that actually, it means something to me, oh, it's a whole lot more difficult.
No, 100%. It's interesting because I was coming at it from slightly different perspective. I was thinking it's a reflection of where I'm at the minute. One of the things that I am trying to knuckle down on is stop starting things, start finishing things, start just sticking with things, because at some point I'm going to need to commit myself to a lifelong project that I'm never going to give up on. I haven't always realized it, but everyone gets thrust into them. It's called being yourself. Another is your career. Another is your marriage or your relationship or friendships that mean a lot to you. And part of what I want to start training myself is stick to things, see things through, even when the motivation wanes. Even when you don't necessarily know why you're doing what you're doing, stick to it. See it through. So I was almost approaching that as a, in light of two job changes in quick succession, are we not someone who runs from our call of duty as soon as the going gets tough? But you opened up my perspective and you kind of led on to something else. There's many ways to apply that lens. There's many ways to look at it. One of the things that you've been saying, which again is particularly pertinent to the position that I'm in, is if we find ourselves doing things that aren't in line with our truth, in line with our calling, in line with our fitra, is the Arabic word, it's your path. Who are we in light of that? As currently, okay, currently, to give you some context, I'm looking to do a PhD in the area of a business that I want to set up. I've been working on this project for the past couple of years, and there's been a couple of reunions here. Almost everyone's out of uni, so the people on a bachelor's that did a year in industry, the people on a master's, the gap years, almost everyone's out of uni. People have started getting jobs. And I've been grateful enough to have a very good education, so I've brushed my noses around people that are getting good jobs. People that are getting 30, 40, 50k salaries. One of my friends made 100 grand last year. The other one of my friends gets flown out to New York. Those are definitely the highlights. It's not, it's by far from that way for everyone. And Marley, we've been speaking about this. And I find myself taking a year out to focus on things and to get the groundwork done, largely unpaid. And then to sign up for 3 more years of relative poverty. Because you don't really get paid much at all as a doctorate student. And I'll be lying if I said, one, it doesn't take courage, but two, your head's not swayed. I'll be lying if it doesn't seem alluring to run back to that good uni, good degree, go and get a job and have someone pay you a lot more money than you'd probably get down this current path that you're trying to pursue. A lot more certainty, a lot more security than you're probably in line for down this current path that you're trying to pursue. And I've had that happen to people. It used to be a team project until we slowly fell one by one. The latest loss was someone that opted for a more secure route, shall we say. I'm not saying for all the reasons that I just described. And I'd be lying if I said it wasn't tempting. One of the things that I was thinking about immediately, Marley, when you sent through those messages was, who would I be in light of that? And for me, in the position that I'm in right now, this is the biggest reminder I think that I have for myself. I know this is my calling. I'm grateful enough to know that this is my calling. I'm grateful enough to know that this is what I want to be doing. This is what seems to be getting the most out of me and nourishing me the most. That's a privilege in of itself. I don't want to stop until it's dead. I don't want to stop prematurely at all. I don't want to stop until it is dead. We're going for the sirloin steak. We're going for the beautiful medium rare sirloin steak. I won't stop until at least I'm serving you beef jerky, dry and crispy. Because if I did, at some point, I'd have to look myself in the mirror and say, who was I in light of that decision to call quits early? And it would be someone that runs. It'll be someone that doesn't have the courage. It'll be someone that didn't double down and find ways to motivate themselves and find ways to view things differently and find ways to be more resourceful and find ways to listen to all of their internal narratives and find ways to silence maybe critics, find ways to ignore comparison, constant comparison with others. It'll be someone that ran. And I'd be handing myself someone who I'd be training myself to run more and more. Another thing, you leave uni, And career and relationships, I think, are the two big things on your mind. This could just be overthinking. The PD Project's all about overthinking. If overthinking can be a process which, when you explore it, helps you find some clarity and helps reduce the problem of overthinking, because at least this is at ease. So this could be overthinking. I'm also thinking, am I training myself to stick through something for good until it's well and done? Because I know I'll probably need to call on that person every day if I want a 40, 50, 60 year marriage as well. It was a long monologue, so I'm going to pause there, Marley. What are you saying?
What am I saying? Marathon. This is a marathon. Like, the temptation is just, you just get your head lost by numbers. Like, numbers, like, looking at numbers can really just take you off your path. Because, I don't know, it's just, we grew up with tech, we grew up with Instagram, we grew up with Snapchat. Like, for a lot of our generation, we're focused on numbers. Like, followers, likes, it's how we, I guess, measure value in our society. Like, you know, can I really have a claim to make good music if I'm making under 1,000 streams? Common logic says no. Logic is whack. You're whack, mate. You know, like, you can't even get 1,000 streams. Like, you're whack. You know, surely if people were rating you and loving you, you know, like, you'd be getting streams. You'd be getting clicks on your website. You'd be getting followers. You'd be getting messages. It's just easy to just get caught up in a numbers game. And you slightly feel like a fool. Like, I've had some opportunities where if I put my truth to the side, could be making some good man money right now in London. If I came in and played the role and, well, I went to the University of Bristol and I studied a 2-1 in law and I show resourcefulness and I show problem solving skills and I work well in teams and
I just want to elaborate, which I don't think you're knocking, but I think you're almost saying that's not the, I know that's not the card, it's a bad card, that's not the card for me to play right now, because I need to listen to myself. Are you calling it myself? Yeah,
like, you know, it's myself, obviously, yeah, not to, you know, knock the grad job pattern at all, like, at all. You know, I think everybody's on their own paths, but I know for myself, it's just, nah, you'd be lying to yourself. You know, you'd be lying. Like, I'm not really a money man. Like, if I want to make money in the future, but money off what I enjoy doing. Money as, I don't know, as a bonus to waking up in the morning feeling fulfilled, that I'm getting the most out of myself and applying my gifts and my talents and to the world and getting the most out of myself, which I think we've all got gifts. You know, we've all got talents inside us ourselves that we need to nurture and care for. But for myself, I find that, how are you going to ever find these abilities to nurture if you're too scared to even open the box? It's like, you've got so much talent, but you don't even want to sit down and open the box. You know, you want to... It's a shame. Like, there's so many, like, talented people that spend their lives doing things that they don't really want to do because they're scared to realise their full potential. It's scary. Like, who can you be if you actually just knuckle down?
And how I saw it is... You raised on several points there. I may try and circle back round to them because they were nice. How I saw it is when I generally ask myself the question, okay, Eunice, go off and get a nice grad job that pays you 40 grand a year. I turned down one. I hadn't graduated yet. I hadn't left Bristol. And this software developing, there was this headhunter for this software development firm. And they wanted to offer me a job And they were like, what would your salary be? And I was thinking, I'll comply, but I know my heart's not really in it. I've started some things that I want to see out. So I just said 40 grand a year, not expecting them to do anything with it, and they didn't. One of the things I was asking myself is, never saying I'll get to this, never saying don't take a job. Listen, it's sensible. It's definitely a sensible way of going about things. This is just one frame of a multifaceted problem that we're exploring right now. But I made a commitment to myself. I was talking in terms of 10, 20 years, spending a whole career here. I'm not quitting on my 2% progress. I'll quit when it's done. But then, even of late, I've been thinking, okay, we can ride out with this mantra, follow your path, follow your passion, follow your mission, stay as true to yourself as possible. Ask ourselves the question, who am I in light of this? Could you be called a fool? Could you be thinking too much about... Could you be called impatient? Could you be thinking too much about yourself and not enough about others? Could your mum do with a bit more of your time as you spend 70 hours a week making music, for example? Could your mum do with a bit of help paying the bills? And I don't think this framework is... There's a number of ways to look at it. I don't think this framework is... There's only one thing that you could ever be doing. I don't think that's true. There's a million and one things that you can be doing at any given moment. But say everything does fall in its face and music isn't the one for Marley. The PD project and this business isn't the one for Eunice. I think it could be easy for myself, given how much I've invested in it, to fall into absolute crisis and to again think nothing's worth it. Going back to early on in the conversation, I'm not going to apply myself to that. Reductionist, reductionist, reductionist. Who are you in light of that? At the end of the day, this is an investment in ourselves, not in the PD project. It's one in the same. That's one of the things that have kind of become one in the same, but not in the PD project and its success and its metrics, as you talked about. Not in this business of mine that I want to get off the ground that doesn't exist. Not in Miles the musician, but in Marley Gunter. And again, we said almost a year ago, we do not know who we are becoming. We don't know if the path to get there looks contrary to everything you expected to be doing. What I'm telling myself, we could be 2 weeks' time. Right now I'm saying, right, do the PhD because it will get you to the business. Allow you to put most of your time into what you want. 2 weeks' time, I could be accepting a grad job. I've thought about that. Why? Because there's many ways to get places. You've been talking about a year of aggressive upskilling. There's many ways to grow me. This very analysis, which could be very one-track minded, opened up my horizons, broadened my horizons, and saying, okay, if you ask yourself, who are you in light of pursuing this PhD for this business? Absolutely, someone that stays true to themselves, someone that wants to see things through. Who are you in light of getting a grad job? Almost what I allow my mentality to make me. Can I not upskill? Can I not utilize, okay, I'll be trained in professionalism, independability, again in commitment, again in seeing things out, again in eking more out of myself. Because after a while, I'm not here as a slave to this business that I want to make. This business isn't Eunice Skeet. I am. So let me make sure I'm not only feeding just the business, but fundamentally I'm feeding myself. Another monologue. I'm going to step back.
Well, if you can do that, that's... You can't lose that. If Who am I in light of this? Who am I in light of this? I could be a brave fool. But just in getting there, just in getting there. You may never get there. I don't think you're ever going to get there. I think the aim is to never get there.
Yeah, I can see that. I didn't realise I was ambitious. I didn't realise I was ambitious until I'd realised there's no level of achievement that I think would satisfy me. And we're almost aiming for the next level of achievement. And that could be awful. That could be a recipe for disaster. We'll see. I don't necessarily think it is, because I think I'm more on the track of there's more growth. There's more I can do to pay off more for myself and others. A lot of that comes from my religious upbringing. I don't think you're going to find a religion, well, Buddhism, is it? Enlightenment? I don't know. I'm a Muslim. Incongruent with Abrahamic religions is you've reached peak religious man. You can chill. There's always more prayers to be made. There's always more piety. There's always more. And that's not to make you feel awful about or never be content with where you are here. That's kind of the path that I'm on. I think I can always look myself in the mirror and think, okay, if we did that, who would I be in light of that? And like the answer. So strive for something else.
Ooh, oh yeah, come on. Okay, no, we can apply that in every... like, before every action. Ooh, that is... That's 30. That's a 31. If I do this, who am I in light of doing this action? Wow.
That's why... I think it's one of the shortest turnovers ever, like a day or 2 days, less than 48 hours before we hopped on the mic for this podcast. Because I was kind of thinking that couldn't have come at a better time. And I was thinking, you do need to be realistic. Don't get me wrong. I do want to double down, knuckle down. I will serve you. We're going for lovely, pink, juicy, medium, rare. If I need to make my fortunes off of beef jerky, dry and crispy, I will. I want to see this through. However, I also want to be there for me. That seeing this through could be 100-hour weeks. I can do that, trust me. I also want to be there for my family, for everything else. So this is just the framework which I think for now is feeding me. It may be broadening my horizons. It may be making it easier to double down on what I'm on. Because after I've asked myself that question enough times, I'm not really tempted by the 40 grand a year job. I'm not really tempted by any of what I see other people doing. I'm kind of just thinking, where else would I want to be? Because to a large degree, I've listened to that. I followed the path of, I started things because I knew that they could pay off for myself and others, because I knew that they could enrich me and my community. And if I'm looking through Plato's lens, it's all spiritual pruning. There's a lot of evidence of my spirit being pruned. Why would I want to be elsewhere for money? For security.
No. Who am I in light of that? That's powerful stuff. I think that's up there with some powerful philosophy. Who am I in light of this? Because then it brings you to like almost unconditional acceptance at any moment.
That's what I'm really here for. That's what, obviously, I have an image of what I want it to be about. Felita's the name of the business that I want to pursue. Trust me, I've spoken to Marley about how this redefines the planet, to not sound too stupid. I've been speaking in terms of, yes, and we'll do this in the first half decade, that in the first decade, that in the first 20 years. I want that to happen. I've been saying similar with the PD project. I want that to happen. But fundamentally, I'm not going to be a servant to that vision. I need to be a servant to myself. So if that doesn't materialize, like the door's absolutely shut, this is just charcoal and ash, not even beef jerky, I can't die as a person because I was only ever for that. I need a bit more of that universal acceptance that Marley was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
That was spiritual pruning for whatever's next. I like that. I like that. I like that. I like that. Yeah. The conversation took a while to get going. I wasn't too satisfied with the first half of the conversation. I don't know. It just didn't give me vibes. It's taken a while to get going, and I think I've given myself a very good reminder. I do want to swing back round to the topic of authenticity. It's been a big one. Since reading Radical Honesty by Brad Blanton, great book. You do need to be ready to read it. Have you finished reading it, Marley?
No.
Great. Oh, yeah, you paused it, didn't you? Yeah.
Yeah.
You definitely need to be ready to read it. Having that conversation, episode 21, transformation, authenticity. And I want to enter it, excuse me, by circling back round to what you said about numbers and metrics. PD Project's been rife with numbers and metrics from day one. I've had to learn it. I'm proud of our metrics, approaching 15,000 streams, which my initial aim was 100 per episode, so proud of that. It's, to a certain degree, confirmation that there is a message that people are resonating with. I'd like to grow that and mobilize it for more, for greater. However, I've wanted to be particular about the way I view the metrics. I was asked in an interview earlier on in the year, what defines success for me in the PD project? And I said, it would be easy for me to say metrics. There's content, I know if you use certain headers, I know if you talk in a certain way, I know if you do certain topics, people lap it up. But I haven't wanted to do that. And then similarly, I know if you hit a certain amount of streams. At one point, I think we were, was it the third top ranking self-help podcast in, was it Mongolia or something like that? I could have said that defines success and nothing else. I've had to switch it up. I've almost had to define successes at the PD project isn't about metrics and numbers, but it's about the activities that we do where I can look back and say, who am I in light of this, and be the proudest. We could have a whole lot of clickbait and this and that going on and talk about certain trending, catchy, controversial stuff. After a while, I had to do away with all of that and just say, success at the PD project is delivering for me and for the people that get involved exactly what they needed in the format that they needed to help themselves find their self and their path. That for me is authenticity. And this past year, it's been difficult because when it was about a year ago, when your authenticity is authentically taking you on walks to record voice notes with Marley, saying, on my wall, I've got it written behind me. Out of all of the people that you know, who do you think is most likely to make the world a better place? And you're authentically saying, yes, I think it's me. All you want to do is hide from that. You had to almost force me to make that public, to tell people, You had to almost force me to do the first episode of the season, an introduction to Skeetism. Because you want to run from your own truths, as you touched on earlier on. And thank you. I want to thank you particularly. Because when I look back at what I said and say, oh, you could look like the biggest idiot in the world with the fattest ego. Was something I did for a while was draw attention away from positives. And I've started just sharing more of myself, regardless of how I think that may come across. Because when I ask myself the question, who am I in light of that? At least I get to say authentic. Someone who lives and speaks for their authenticity. As Raj said, it takes courage.
This is crazy.
Is it?
Yeah, like, you just realise it. It's like, Raj, like, being real and authentic is actually... Oh, no, we know this. It is the most difficult thing you can do. I don't know why I'm acting shocked. It's like, I tend to look at people and I was like, why are you lying? Why are you doing these things? Like, why? And it's like, we know why. It's hard to show up for yourself.
Mm.
Like, it's actually hard.
Mm. And it's human nature that we'll always have shortcomings. One of the things we can also do is not show up for ourselves because we don't want to give the world any of those shortcomings. I'm thinking back to positive, but slightly painful in parts, chapter of my life that was the past year, which was just becoming a bit more radically honest. It's authentic, it's the way I want to be, but as well, there's an etiquette to it. And a lot of times where I don't feel like my etiquette has been perfect, for a bit of context, I remember Marley wanting to cut things off. We had a bit of an arrangement going on. We would have like Monday sessions where we'd just talk things through. Marley wanting to cut things off. I was too intense. I was too, this is intrusive. It was because it was just me getting straight at the honesty. And he told me that, well, no, I had to squeeze it out of him by force. And there was like half a week where I was kind of just looking in the mirror, just like, who have you become, Eunice? Like, like, I know it's all good intention. And don't get me wrong, people do appreciate it because the truth, it hurts, but it heals the best.
Gosh.
But I was just like, Eunice, tact, Eunice. Just Eunice, etiquette, Eunice. Have you gone a bit too far? It's painful, don't get me wrong. It's one of the things I think everyone must agree. I hate looking at myself and just being like... this is just not on. And that's how I felt. I was drawing people away. I was running into conversations with you, maybe a bit too, you said Gergen Press, you said masochist. Similarly at home, there was some stuff that we were trying to sort out and I was in a bit of a predicament. There were some truths that we were blatantly avoiding. Conversations we just didn't want to have, running from that. We all knew, but I seemed to be the only person focusing on, was exactly where we needed to go to find the solutions. And my sisters, like, they didn't want to talk to me because they knew Eunice was just going to be like, well, well, we need to stop running. We need to go where we don't want to go. It's going to be painful. Conversations stopped being had with me. And I was looking in the mirrors. It's all culminating like, oh my days, Eunice. Too far. Too far. It's painful.
Trust.
And I think that's one of the most difficult feelings.
Mm.
Do you know what helps? When I acknowledge I'm not perfect, but when I ask, okay... down the line that I was on, who was I being? Someone who was almost without failed, well-intentioned, and trying to be authentic. He hadn't found the right balance. His etiquette wasn't A1. but at least he tried. Some mistakes are difficult to swallow. That's when I think you ask yourself, who are you being? Who was I in light of that decision? And you don't like the answer. That was an example of a mistake that, I don't know, difficult to swallow, but at least I could go to bed knowing the person who I was in light of the decisions that I made was the person I want to be. It's just the tact, it's just the etiquette, it's just the delivery that needs fine-tuning, which is the process of life. That was the point that I wanted to make about authenticity. That was another way I want to be deploying this analysis.
Painful. It's painful. You look in the mirror, it's, oh, you mean well, but oh my day, yeah. You just... It doesn't sit well with you at all. No. It's horrible. It's not nice. It's like, oh, gosh, no wonder. No, I've probably just created an absolute crisis in your life.
Yep.
It's like, yep. Well, here you go. Here's your answer. Like, we've got to go to the places we don't want to go. Like, right. Solve this problem. Here it is. I'm giving you, let's solve it on a plate. And I'm in my life right now, and it's like, it's very sad to say, like, I'm on a lot of people's airtime at the moment.
it
doesn't sit, like, there's a part of me that's like, look, I'm being myself, I'm trying to step in my truths, I'm trying to step in my light and bring the parts of myself that I'm ashamed to the light. And then, when the response is people that you thought, I don't know, held you in high regard, just suddenly messages and calls just start getting aired. And you know it's not like, right, Marley, we just hate you. You know, you're just a truth-hungry pagan. It's not that. It's multifaceted. I'm not ready to... For whatever reason. Like, I'm not ready to deal with this at this moment in time, and I've had to be like, do I have this much importance in people's lives? It's kind of just been a bit of a wake-up call. Like, you can't just be talking recce. You can't just be speaking and living your truths and not thinking of the consequences. Because you just think you're sending a hi, like, you know, your mum asks, how are you? I think my mum asked me, oh, yeah, how are you? And I said, truthfully, I'm disillusioned with the state of the family. It's an absolute shambles. You mean it? You're like, this is my truth. I'm sad. Like, I'm looking at the family. I'm like, oh, come on. This is just, it saddens me. I wish it was something more. And I know you must feel the same. And then your mum's just like, oh, gosh. You know, like you're some heartless, you know, you just feel like an absolute, just, you feel just like a monster. Like, I'm not going to lie. So, oh, why have you done that? Oh, if I just kept it light, I could, why did I say that? You know, could have just said, oh, no, it's all right. But you try to step in your truths.
And I really am rinsing this analysis because, okay, who am I in light of that? Yes, authentic. Yes, being truthful. Also, the man that makes people hurt. The man that thrusts people into the deep end and takes them where they don't want to go.
Like Bane, just yes. It's mad. It's not the greatest of feelings when you're just like, look, I love you and I care about you, but you see me like, you know, you got your own mum, and I quote my own mother's words. You have to watch what you say because sometimes you're people's worst nightmare. I was like, what have I said? And it's like, I know my mum. My mum is a very she's going to say it how it is. She's not going to... She's a certain kind of person.
Mm.
I've taken a lot from her. She's my mother. There's a reason why I'm so able to be blunt and just keep it... So my mum will just keep it truthful. And if she's telling me she's shaken, oh, I don't know. I'm probably just shaking the lives of people left, right and centre, and they don't have the courage to maybe to say Wagwan.
Or they don't want to hurt you. It is, as painful as it is, it's easier to deal with than those quote-unquote mistakes where from the who was I being, who am I in light of this analysis, there aren't really any positives. The answer was I was just running away from all of my values.
Trust.
I just didn't want to deal with any of my truths. That was second year for me. That was... That's why it was the most difficult pill I've swallowed. Because a large reason why you are in the situation that you're in is because you were lying to yourself. There was no authenticity.
Oh, God.
That's the hardest pill to swallow.
Hmm. Oh. Oh, yeah, that's a mad one. That is. I wasn't thinking about it like that.
Yeah. I can see by your face you've got some... You can relate. Yeah. And to almost sum up, if nothing else, that's what I want to be successful at. Being able to look back. Just remembered, I wrote an article. I need to reread it. I don't know how linked it was to this. Called Who Are You Being? I think it was Article 4. Called Who Are You Being? That I guess was about authenticity. But I want to look back at my life and be able to say, I was being me, I was being authentic. Who was I in light of this? Someone that stood for everything that I want to stand for. Dependability is a big one. Commitment, perseverance for me is a big one. Authenticity is a big one. Again, there is an upcoming episode on religion. We don't know what everything that falls in our path is there to do. We don't know when the things that we want to pay off for us are destined to pay off for us. Let us not be too much of a reductionist or have too little patience and just write things off and not be nourished by the opportunity and not make the most of the things that come our way. Because all we're doing is training ourselves to drop the bag when it really matters. Is there anything else you'd like to add, or does that sum up the conversation?
No, that was another healing conversation. I feel like these conversations are becoming more healing, more saying what I needed to hear, hearing what I need to hear, saying what I want to say. Stepping and living my truth a bit more each episode. Thank you very much.
Positive stuff. And I still don't quite know what to call this episode. Do you have a name for it?
I don't know. The process. I don't know.
The process. Maybe we'll go with the process. Right. That has been that. Last night in prep, I was doing some reflecting. It put me in quite an emotional state. I'm grateful to be able to look back at many of the things that I did this year, near all, and be able to answer, who was I in light of this? Someone I wanted to be. Who was I being? Someone I wanted to be. And I was grateful for the things that I'm applying myself to. the positions that I find myself in and the things that we're doing in the PD project. And we've started something. I am at least curious to see how it ends. So I'll be following along. One of the things I'm also curious about is, what's this journey like for other people? What are the voices of the people that follow? So please, do feel free. I implore you, hit me up. Find us at www.pdproject.co.uk. Email me directly at pdproject.co.uk@gmail.com. You can swing a message to us on social media at pdprojectltd. No one yet has followed up on one of these through the episode. From my callings out to our listeners through the episode. We've had people from a number of other streams, some on social media. Please, you, if you're speaking, I'd love for you to be the first person to actually respond to one of these calls. We're doing something good. Would love to share it with more people and would love to hear how you're receiving it or what your journey is like, and we can go from there. For now, another moment in history, episode 24 of the Personal Development Podcast. I was joined by...
Sorry, my microphone went off. Sorry, I thought you stopped recording. Sorry.
No worries. I was joined by Marley. I am Eunice Skeet. And until next fortnight, have a fantastic day.
Hasta luego. It's a different kind of pain, it's a different kind of pain, crafting your happiness, crafting your happiness, it's a different kind of pain.